Praise the Lord with gladness. When you play an instrument to the Lord, it is not something that is normal. It is not worldly or earthly. It is otherworldly. It is to the Lord. It is His skills and talents as you serve by His strength to glorify Him that the congregation would praise.
Thanks for joining us for this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, why do you think worship is different and varied in evangelical churches these days?
Well, Dave, as we're going to see today, it shouldn't be this way, because God's Word gives us everything we need to know about life and godliness, and that includes how we are to worship in church. So turn with us to Nehemiah chapter 12, where we get a picture of genuine worship from the Lord's perspective.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
We're praising Him in the midst together. Psalm 107, I mentioned this earlier in the service. Let them give thanks to the Lord, verse 31, for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men. Let them extol Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the seat of the elders. And then one last Old Testament passage. Praise the Lord, Psalm 149, sing to the Lord a new song and praise Him in the congregation, you godly ones. Praise as we come together of our Lord. And then think about Hebrews chapter 10. We see that we're not to forsake our assembling together. We assemble the assembly. We have so much instruction from the Old Testament that helps us understand how we assemble in the New Testament and how they praised and worshiped the Lord together. And there's assembly. And it's interesting. The Lord Jesus quoted in Hebrews chapter 2 concerning His taking on human flesh for us, becoming like us. He shares that He's going to praise with us in the assembly. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. For He who both sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim Thy name to My brethren in the midst of the congregation. I will sing Thy praise, and again I will put My trust in Him, and again, behold, I and the children whom God has given Me. I'll sing in the congregation, proclaim Thy praise. That's what we're to do together. But there is an order to it. It's not some free-for-all, as we're going to see, that happens on Sunday. That we just go out and wing it and do whatever we want. There is order and there is skill involved. And there are those who are gifted to lead and to bring forth those who are skilled to praise and to lead in praise. And we need to remember that as we grow and as we plan for what we do as a church. It's interesting, you know, we think about the plans we have for our Christmas and Easter services. We plan those out. We have different things we do and we practice that and we go to that. We go over and over again. Those are things. We need to remember those things. We need to remember how we prepare and get ready for the worship of the living God. So then, it's my view that He's pointing out those who are in charge and those who are gifted to lead singing and praise in the congregation to worship. And that's going to move and bring us into the section where they begin this great consecration of the walls, where they're praising God for what He has done. So the first principle in corporate worship here, I believe, is the Lord has ordained that there are those who lead and praise and worship of Him, and those who stand before and lead those, and those who have duties in the worship and praise of the Lord. Now, I've got so many passages, but if you go to 1 Chronicles 25, you can don't need to go there right now, but read through that. You'll see all kinds of people appointed and skilled in all these different jobs into the worship of God. There's all these things happening. We need to remember that, and they're all led. They performed, in that chapter, they performed their service, verse 1. They were skillful, verse 7. You know, they were skillful and performed service. Now, it doesn't mean we come and do it in our own wisdom and strength. We don't hire the Metropolitan Opera to come over and sing Hallelujah Chorus. The reality is this is believers. But God is going to gift and skill different people in different ways to lead and to bring the congregation about in worship of the living God. Obviously, not everyone's going to be doing that, right? There's this bringing forth of this praise for everyone to join in and praise the Lord. We also see, and I told you 1 Chronicles 25, read through that, and then 1 Chronicles 26, read through that. You see all the serving capacities through those chapters. For example, chapter 26, verse 20, and there were those who were assigned over charge over the treasuries of the house of God and dedicated to the gifts. There's different people assigned to different things in this worship service, and they're all being led and organized, right? Okay? So that's the first point. Well, secondly, this really falls on the heels of this, the worship needs to be planned. It really has fallen on the heels of this. Now we get into this dedication portion. Back to Nehemiah chapter 12, and let's look at verse 27. Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites from all their places to bring them to Jerusalem so that they might celebrate the dedication with gladness, with hymns of thanksgiving and with songs to the accompaniment of cymbals, harps, and lyres. So the sons of the singers were assembled from the district around Jerusalem and from the villages of the Netophalites and from Beth Gilgal and from the fields in Geba and Azamath, for the singers had built themselves villages around Jerusalem. So here we see the first thing, they're having a dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. Now, what's a dedication? The term dedication could be translated consecration. It is a visible giving over of something to the Lord. It's giving over to Him. You are saying, this is of you. We are setting this apart to you. You know, you hear of a child dedication. The heart in that is, you know, the heart is, we are giving our child over to you, Lord Jesus, and we want him to be following you or her to be following you. We're dedicating our lives to obeying you and raising him up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And those things, that's a dedication. And so here they're dedicating the walls. And in that dedication, there's a great celebration and praise to the God who completed the wall through all the obstacles, who changed their hearts. And again, we'll see that they needed to have changed hearts before they got to this point. If you got sin in your life, worship is a zero, okay? It need to be pure, as we'll see. So then, we have the dedication. It's a setting apart for God. And so here, they sought out. They're planning. They sought them out. They sought out the people who were skilled to do these things. This comes right on the heels of the list of all these people, right? And now we say here, we see that they sought them out. The Levites from all their places to bring them to Jerusalem so that they might celebrate the dedication with gladness and hymns and thanksgiving with songs to the accompaniment of cymbals, harps, and lyres. These Levites, as we'll see, had special skills in music and song. Special skills. God gifts people in music. God gifts people with voices. And He wants those who are gifted to use that for His glory. He wants you to use it. He wants you to serve Him in that. He wants you to serve with those gifts. Not everybody has a beautiful voice. That's okay. But we all sing to the Lord. Not everybody can play instruments. But those who can, God wants to use that for His glory. And there are those who organize it, and they sought them out to do that. There were those who, first of all, in this delegate, might celebrate with what? With gladness. There's a prerequisite. There should be joy for what God has done. That's a key. It's not just coming and playing the piano or playing an instrument, and it's not just coming and leading and singing and, okay, I'm done. There should be a joy in your heart for what God has done for you. We're going to see that in a little bit. There should be great joy, and that should come out in song. And then there are those who lead and have these skills. We are to enter His presence with thanksgiving, His courts with praise, right? We should come with gladness, right? The core of our worship is thankfulness and gladness. And they're to lead in thankfulness and praise. In thankfulness and praise of the Lord. Because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, because of the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, because we are now His people and the sheep of His pasture, we're to enter His courts with thanksgiving. We're to enter His presence with thanksgiving and courts with praise, right? Gladness. They weren't just coming to do their musical deal. It wasn't called the Levites. We got a gig this Sunday at 10 a.m. That's not what they're saying. They were coming to celebrate and praise the Lord with gladness. And when you play an instrument to the Lord, it is not something that is normal. It is not worldly or earthly. It is otherworldly. It is to the Lord. It is His skills and talents as you serve by His strength to glorify Him that the congregation would praise. So then, with hymns of thanksgiving, with songs and accompaniment of cymbals, harps, and lyres. Those are instruments, right? Okay, so this dedication is planned. They're saying, get the people we need to do this, right? They didn't just say assemble, and they all assembled. And then they said, okay, Levites, come over here, let's sing. No, they got the people specifically who were going to sing. That's what we see here. And remember, the last 25 verses, 26 verses, are all about those who were specially ordered by God to lead in this worship, right? We have Levites and the priests who are doing this. Now, we know it should be done. Our worship should be done in a proper manner, right? And orderly, okay? We know from the book of 1 Corinthians that the Corinthians were out of order. And Paul is addressing that, and he's addressing their assembling together. And he says to them, but let all things be done properly and in a orderly manner. Now, to have an orderly manner, you need to have thought beforehand and planning involved. You don't just wing it. You don't just swing it. There needs to be a plan on how things are done, right? And we need to remember that as we come together, whether it's just our regular worship time with what we have, or whether it's a special time of celebration or dedication, or Easter service, or Christmas Eve, or whatever it might be. There is order, and there is thought, and there is planning involved. Now, again, I mentioned this. We're a small church, and we don't have all the servants that I would like. Man, I'd love to have a wonderful choir of, 300 people who love the Lord and are serving with gladness and singing unto Him, and a huge, wonderful group of instruments and praise that people are doing it for His glory. Wouldn't that be awesome? But with that in mind, don't despise the day of the small things. But we need to prepare for what the Lord has for us. We need to understand it. We need to understand how it should be done, right? Okay. So that they might celebrate with dedication, with gladness. And notice they go to get these things, and guess what? They don't say, well, I'm a little too busy this weekend. I'm working on my house. I've got other things I got to do. No, they come. They come and they do it. Look at verse 28 here. So the sons of the singers were assembled. Notice how they're called the singers now, right? The sons of the singers were assembled from the district around Jerusalem and from the villages of the Netophathites and Beth-Gilgal. It's not Gilgal, it's Beth-Gilgal, by the way. It's near modern Jerusalem. And from the fields of Geba and Azmaveth, for the singers had built themselves villages around Jerusalem. They were ready for serving, right? They had their villages. They built their places. They know where they're going. They're ready to do their service for the Lord, right? They were assembled. It means they came. There was organization and planning, and they came. And they came, and they did so. Now, one other point I want to share here is that as singers are sought, they must be those who know the Lord. I mentioned this earlier. Must be those who know the Lord. Musicians in this part of our worship must be those who trust the Lord, rely on the Lord. You know, turn to John 4, and we have a passage in the New Testament in which Jesus reveals the type of worshipers that the Lord desires, the Father desires to be His worshipers. I'm not going to read the whole thing. You know the story of the woman at the well, but this woman has just been confronted. Jesus says, go get your husband, and she says, I don't have a husband. Well, yeah, that's good. You really have five husbands, basically, right? You know, He's confronting her sin. He's exposing it. And now she begins to kind of divert things. And from this diversion, we gain instruction on true worship. John 4:21, Jesus said to her, woman, believe in me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, there's different versions, there's different translations. Some put a big S on there, some put a small S. The reality is, I think it's really the big S. I think it's in the sphere of the Spirit. This term N in Greek means the sphere. God desires His worship to worship in the sphere of the Spirit and in the sphere of truth. You can't worship Him apart from that. We know from Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, hey, there's the bad guys. Watch out for them. But we're the good guys. And he describes what true believers look like. Philippians 3:3, he says, for we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God, glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. That should center the bottom line of our worship. It's the Spirit of God, which means I need to be Spirit-led. I need to allow the Spirit to be leading me. I need to be confessing sin a spirit of God. We glory in Christ Jesus. He is the one who's being exalted. And we put no confidence in the flesh. And sadly, there's a lot of worship out there these days that is all flesh and all falsehood rather than spirit and truth. The reality is, it's not about us. It's not about a good time. It's not about a rock band that we love and love the songs. It's all about whatever you think about Jesus. It's about him being exalted. It's by the Spirit and the sphere of the Spirit. And it's in the context of truth. Now, if you've never come before him in the Spirit, where the Spirit of God has illumined your heart because you have your relationship with him, you're yielded to him, there's a joy, there's a peace, and the truth of God, then maybe you don't know the Lord. If it's all been fleshy and falsehood, you know, examine yourself. But we need to have this as our foundation, as we see in the New Testament. So then, we worship in the Spirit of God, not in the flesh. So yes, we're going to be talking about organization and instruments and singers and this and that, but it's not in the flesh. It's in the Spirit of God. It's in the truth of God. And that leads me to the last thing we're going to look at today, which is the servants, people in place are to be pure. You can't worship the Lord if you're not pure. And we're going to talk about that. Notice in verse 30, and the priests and the Levites purified themselves. Remember, it's about the priests and Levites, remember? The whole first 26 verses, all about them and their leaders, right? And they're the ones serving in worship. They're the ones that are leading in worship, right? Priests and Levites purified themselves. They also purified the people, the gates, and the wall. So what does this mean? In purification, this would be symbolic. We see in the Old Testament that a priest would symbolically purify things with water. Think about it. If something's dirty, you wash it with water, right? It's symbolic. There was a purification with water, Numbers 31. And this symbolic purification always pointed to the real thing. We even see that in the Old Testament. Turn to Numbers chapter 8, verse 21. We even see that in the Old Testament. It pointed to the real thing, cleansing through a sacrifice, which would be the Lord Jesus Christ. Numbers chapter 8, 21. The Levites, too, purified themselves from sin. You say, how can they do that? And washed their clothes. Okay, that's this outward symbolic purification, right? But it's pointing to the reality of needing to be purified from sin. And Aaron presented them as a wave offering before the Lord. Aaron also made atonement for them to cleanse them. Those sacrifices pointed to the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. This purification would be symbolic, but it points to the one who would purify us through the forgiveness of sins. We will be cleansed by his blood. And you need to be purified. If you are serving in worship and leading worship, whatever it might be, you're singing, you're playing an instrument, you're involved in that, especially if you come to church, obviously, to worship, you need to be pure before the Lord. And that first purification comes in the context of salvation in Jesus Christ. We know from Titus chapter 2 that the blessed hope, who is Jesus Christ, our Savior, gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession. We know in chapter 3 of Titus that when the kindness of God our Savior came and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Spirit. By God, through his salvation, Jesus Christ, his Spirit washed us. We were cleansed of our sins. We were born again. We were renewed. We know in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that believers were washed. They were sanctified. We were cleansed of our sins when we came to Jesus Christ. We know in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, based on the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that our hearts have been, and he uses Jewish language, sprinkled clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. We've been cleansed of our sins. So you need to be in Christ. You need to worship in the Spirit and the truth. And you need to be cleansed. You can't come. Now, the thing is, we believers, we walk in this world, and we get our feet dirty, right? We get dirty with sin. We fail. We make mistakes. We sin. But we should never allow that sin to continue. We should be confessing sin. You know, the reality is we should come here sinless in the moment. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleansed. You gotta be pure. The first thing they did before they even have this dedication is they purified everything. They purified themselves, and they purified what they were coming into. It's symbolic. The reality is, it's only through Christ. Now, in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9, it says, who can say, I have cleansed my heart, and I am pure from sin? Well, no one can say that, because we don't cleanse our hearts. Jesus cleanses our hearts. You see? And so, if you are serving and worship in any way, shape, or form, you come into church to worship the Lord, you need a pure heart. And that happens through the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. Yes, we're clean in Jesus, but we get dirty with sin. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So then, folks, we need to be pure, and we see that. So then, if you come here and you got sin, and you're trying to play piano, or you're trying to sing, or you're trying to lead, or you're playing an instrument, or whatever it might be, you know, even run the service of the audio, or whatever it might be, and you got sin in your life, it's a no-go. You need to be pure. You need to be cleansed of your sin. First of all, through faith in Jesus. Secondly, by confessing ongoing sin. It's so important. You know, you've got problems in worship when you've got people that aren't confessing sin, or certainly not believers, right? You got big problems. But if we're allowing the Spirit of God to direct us and lead us, then we're all going to be on the same page. I read this passage earlier in Zephaniah during our offertory time, but let's turn there to Zephaniah chapter 3, and we see that after judgment, the Lord cleanses his people, that they would have pure lips to worship him, right? Zephaniah 3, verse 9. And this is after, for those of you who will hear it on the recording, this is after the Lord brings forth judgment on the nations, and he purges out sin in Israel. And after that, they come to faith. This is what happens. For then I will give to the peoples purified lips. Isn't that great? You know, when we came to faith in Jesus, we got purified lips. We can sing praises to him, right? Isn't that great? That all of them may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him shoulder to shoulder. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshipers, notice that, my dispersed ones will bring my offerings. In that day you will feel no shame because of all your deeds by which you have rebelled against me. For then I will remove from your midst your proud, exalting ones, and you will never again be haughty on my holy mountain. But I will leave among you a humble, lowly people, and they will take refuge in the name of the Lord. May we do that. May we be those who sing with purified lips. So how then are we to corporately worship? Well, we've seen through the preparation of this time of the celebration and consecration of the wall that first of all, there need to be leaders and skilled servants that God has ordained to lead in the worship and singing and praise and thanksgiving of the Lord. And those who are there need to come with gladness and serve with gladness and joy and praise. And we need to be, all of us, in the context of a planned time, we need to be pure.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Wow, Greg, with such an instructive passage, why do churches worship so differently?
Well, Dave, I believe it's simply a matter of outright rebellion or evil people who have crept into the church unnoticed or culpable ignorance. As we've seen, our worship should be threaded in the same characteristics revealed in Nehemiah chapter 12. And if this is the case, oh, how unified we would be. Yet sadly, it's not the case in many places. Now, there are some of you listening who have heard this truth in Nehemiah 12, and now you have no excuse to participate in unbiblical worship. Brother or sister, do you need to confess of your participation in such? If so, just do so. Be forgiven. Praise the Lord for that forgiveness and get out of there and find a biblical church that worships the Lord according to His word and ways.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here, for another edition of Equipping the Saints.